Okay, on part two, on the second half, I'm going to go into some detail this article in the Washington Post on the murder in Paris of Henri Curiel. Interesting that it was in the Washington Post Foreign Service, and it came out August 19th, and in all of the newspapers that I take, and I take about 10 a day and get clippings from 10 other places around the country, I haven't seen any other mention of this particular French problem, while the very people named in the article are in the news and are trying to push again the KGB terrorists around the world. Now, Curiel began to be smeared in 1976. They began to take his name and throw it around, and by the time he was murdered, May the 4th, 1978, people thought he was a Soviet spy and involved in espionage. There were books that came out just recently, a whole series of books, smearing Curiel and using his name, and his widow has already had lawsuits and has had alterations on some of them already. One was the Curiel Network by Roland Gaucher, G-A-U-C-H-E-R. The other is the Terror Network. You've heard of that book, and I've mentioned it before, by Claire Sterling. Claire Sterling is important because of the group in Washington, D.C., funded by Richard Mellon Scaife, who fund the far right in this country, and who have continuously made lies about the Soviet Union. The other book is The Spike. That's a famous book that is now into many printings. They want to make a movie by Robert Moss and Arnaud de Boschgrave called The Spike. And these people, Gaucher, Sterling, Moss, and Boschgrave, were writing about this poor fellow, Henri Curiel, and his KGB links, at a time when they were working with Alexander Haig and the Georgetown University and Richard Mellon Scaife and that gang, just at the time that the Pope was shot and Reagan was shot. They were shot by Nazis, people sympathetic to the Nazi group, the youth group, or the domestic Nazis in this country. And their books came out at a time when Claire Sterling and the others who wrote The Spike were on radio all over this country, and also over in London, where Robert Moss has a weekly or daily column blaming the KGB. And, of course, if Haig took over and Bush took over the federal government, if Reagan had died or if he dies, they will push that KGB story, and they work very closely with these people. And they also work closely, Haig, in NATO with Licio Gelli and the fascist organization that wanted a coup there. And they work closely in the United States with Galen, Hitler's spies, that conceived and did the coups in this country to wipe out the politicians who could speak up to represent what the people might have wanted. Now the news media is so slanted, you don't even know what they want anymore. But the power to assassinate and cover up and control the press is so great that these books just keep coming out. The important thing about this story is that now that Mitterrand is in power in France, this Washington Post article says he wants to get to the bottom of this murder. Not only was Curiel murdered, but six other people were murdered, and they're trying to link the Jews of Paris, or this Jew, to anti-democratic processes to make him look like a communist, where in fact he always worked very close with de Gaulle and was sympathetic to what Charles de Gaulle wanted. And Mitterrand wants to go into the matter. Now, they believe that the former president of France, Valéry Giscard d'Estaing, destroyed or had destroyed evidence of this or these other murders. And they asked the French Minister of Interior for information, similar to our Freedom of Information Act, on this case. And they got an answer back, which I thought I'd read on the air, which is similar to what we get when we want information from Freedom of Information, and they just say they don't have it, or it's missing, or it's destroyed. The French government wrote back in response to requests on these murders, "It is not forbidden to think that very fact of ordering the appraisal, another term for your request, is likely to incite the disappearance of the fact one seeks to ascertain. It is not forbidden to think that the very fact that you order or require or request this information is not forbidden to think that this could cause the disappearance of the very fact one seeks to ascertain." And that's the answer they got when they wanted the information on Henri Curiel. Now, he, like many other people, was helping the Third World, and this is how Licio Gelli in Italy or the CIA does in this country. They kill the leaders and distort those people who are working for higher wages or health plans or employment in these other countries, or building facilities or health facilities, whether it's water or schools or food programs. We tear down the land reform programs and put in these fascist dictatorships, and that's what Curiel was doing. They tried to link him to subversive activities and used leaks, and later they traced the leaks to fascist organizations, where his institution was really just fighting fascism. It became clear to Mitterrand, and he decided when he became in power that he would open this up to see that to be interested in social progress or against torture is not to be a Soviet agent. The socialists said that they want to be helpful. They've asked for the files to be open. They've asked for a new commission to clear Curiel of wrongdoing, the way they smeared him. And they dislike the rejection of the request for information. So the French courts are going into this, and the wife of Curiel, Rose Curiel, sued one particular author, Roland Gaucher, because of a book that was not true called The Curiel Network. Now, this is the way books come out, whether Yuri Nosenko was KGB or Curiel was a Soviet spy. They write these things, and they're not sued by members of the family. Unfortunately, this disinformation pours out. She has sued this particular writer, so in his book, every copy, they have to print a disclaimer insert in each book that what they said about him may not necessarily be accurate. But the important thing is that there's another lawsuit going on against Claire Sterling, who wrote the Terror Network. And I say she works closely with the Young Americans for Freedom, with Richard Mellenscave, with the New Right, with the Georgetown University, with the ministers of propaganda, with the big lie stick in Washington, D.C. Claire Sterling's book, The Terror Network, is a bunch of BS. And she goes on these talk shows and pumps that book. Somebody asked her when she was on KGO why she only talks about suspected terrorism of the left and doesn't talk about the right, the death squads in Brazil and Paraguay and Uruguay and Chile and Argentina and the Nazis in America. She says, well, this particular book is just about KGB terrorism. A section of this book was printed by the Washington Post in Rome, March 15th, 1981, mentioning Henry Curiel as being a spy or a KGB agent. March 15th, 1981 was just 15 days before Ronald Reagan was shot in this country, and just 15 days before Claire Sterling was talking about terrorism. Now, one good way to get rid of the President of the United States and make George Bush, former director of the CIA, president, and Alexander Haig of NATO, working with Nazi Jelly and Galen and Bormann and the whole gang, one way to give them power is to get in on the wave of killing the President of the United States and then saying, we don't condone this terrorism, and then publishing disinformation. Fortunately, in this case, Ronald Reagan lived, and the Washington Post is being sued also for the things they said about this particular man. There is a concerted effort to smear this man. The French intelligence did it, just as the British network, the London Times, the radio, TV will say that a KGB agent shot at the Pope, or that John Hinckley Jr. was a lone assassin instead of going into where he got his money. The networks are negligent. The intelligence networks do not tell the truth on the spy network and where it's really coming from. The intelligence systems, according to this investigation into the Curiel case, said that these intelligence systems in France, and this could be applying to ours, are anti-labor, they're anti-poor, they're anti-underdeveloped. The Washington Post article says they work with fascist and Nazi organizations, and they work with anybody who helps put the people down. Anyone that they consider an enemy has to be destroyed by two ways: either kill them or link them to communism. So what they did with Curiel, they linked him to the communists first, and then 2 years later, he and six others were killed. And Mitterrand is looking into the accusations that the DST, that's the French intelligence, similar to our FBI, and the other espionage services, the SDEC, the international, like the CIA, were playing a part. Now, what activities happened in France seem removed, maybe from your Defense Department, or what happens in Italy seems removed. But if you get an overall view that Martin Bormann, the master genius behind Hitler, went with unlimited money and counterfeit money and so forth down to South America to set up a network all over the world and sent top Nazis in this country, in the CIA, in the universities, into the hospitals, then it isn't removed from what we do. So that books that are taunted by the American publishers, such as The Spike or these various non-objective books blaming people that are doing social work for social benefit as being traitors to their own government when they're not, it is a tremendous disservice. And books like The Terror Network or The Spike get tremendous attention in the media and are never challenged by book reviewers or anybody else as to what they're trying to accomplish and how they do it. So all of the books that have been written against Curiel are being challenged. His widow is challenging it. And the important thing is that Valerie Giscard d'Estaing said, we can't afford a scandal like that. Now, if Jimmy Carter were a genuine Democrat, when he was in power, he would have investigated the political assassinations, the committee to investigate the assassination, the House Select Committee. He ignored because he was handpicked by David Rockefeller and the trilateral. We don't have a Democratic Party anymore, and it's a tragedy because the people that are in power have total carte blanche to lie and blame and accuse while they themselves are in the action. Another important article, a third-part series, I've mentioned it twice before, and this one I'll have to outline at great length for you and maybe do one entire Sunday evening. It's a new section by Jeff Gerth and Philip Taubman, Capitalizing on the CIA. It's from the New York Times today, September the 6th, 1981. And if you live on the West Coast, the San Jose Mercury is covering these stories. Now, this article is more into Edwin Wilson of the CIA, the problem the director William Casey has on his hands. Another agent, Thomas G. Kleins, gets into this picture. And it tells about Frank E. Turple and Edwin Wilson and the CIA arming Gaddafi and sending weapons with CIA companies into Saudi Arabia, Latin America, the Far East, Libya, Egypt, and Mexico. They arm Egypt to the hilt and they arm Gaddafi to the hilt, and they're both enemies. But there's an interesting and a frightening thing I want to mention to you, and I mentioned it before, and we must write to these writers or push this out in the open. And as I say, I'll get back to this article later. Famous writers like Seymour Hersh, who broke the My Lai story, did that two-part series in the New York Times on Frank Turple and Edwin Wilson. Jack Anderson has written many articles on the assassination teams, the espionage operations of Frank Turple and Edwin Wilson. Alexander Cockburn did a very important article recently in the Village Voice, and Jeff Gerth has written three articles so far in the New York Times in the past weeks. So that in terms of inches of news space, this story is getting a lot of coverage, but they're leaving out the name George Gregory Corcola. Write that down if you have a pencil, George Gregory Corcola, K-O-R-K-O-L-A. And I ask, why the silence? I first learned of these characters and talked about them going back, and they were tapes back in 1979 when they were arrested in New York City at the Hilton Hotel. December 25th, 1979, there was an article about two men held in a gun sale, and they mentioned Mr. Corcola, who worked with Frank Turple, owner of the Amstec Corporation of Nutley, New Jersey, that manufactures explosives. It is a legitimate security business that sold detection equipment to Scotland Yard, Exxon, and Mobil. They make briefcases, bombs, paperback book bombs, and all kinds of devices, and Corcola was using a diplomatic plate from the United Nations registered to the Uganda mission. Now, I believe that George Corcola, as well as Frank Turple and Edwin Wilson, it's acknowledged that they are all linked to Carlos the Terrorist, the terror that's coming from the right, the killing of the Munich athletes at the Olympic Games years back they take credit for. But these people work with Samuel Cummings of the CIA in London, and George Corcola supplying security and equipment to Scotland Yard Exxon, which is Standard Oil and Chase Manhattan and Mobil, has to be one of the biggest characters floating around. And the important thing is that the major news media are running article after article and leaving Corcola out. Now, I'm a stubborn person. The more they leave him out, the more I'm going to share him with you on these programs. And they're not the only ones leaving him out. There's a question in the newspaper, a question and answer in the Sunday paper, the San Jose Mercury. It goes into Washington Post. It comes out here. And they ask the question about the CIA training terrorists for Libya. And the answer goes, the news columnist, this Scott, who answers every week, refers to Edwin P. Wilson and Frank Turple and leaves out Corcola. He mentions Kevin, I mentioned him, McCulley, on many programs and the articles that Seymour Hersh did. But Corcola either is dead, and it was Maxine Cheshire who hinted that he had been murdered, or he's hiding, and he's hiding well, but there has to be some written or tacit agreement that these people in the news can use this information, and they're going to be interviewed, and they have been interviewed by Jeff Girth, a fine writer, Seymour Hersh, a fine writer, Alexander Cockburn. These are the men, I would say left of middle or in the middle, certainly not the far right writers, the cover-up artists of the ages. These are people that have written valuable information, and we have to get out. Jack Anderson, every column. Why are they leaving out George Corcola? That may be the tender link from I.G. Farben in New Jersey down to the Alpha 66, to the anti-Castro Cubans, to the assassination teams that have gone the whole era, but particularly from John Kennedy up to the present, because Edwin Wilson was part of Task Force 139 at the Nugenhand Bank in Australia, along with Paisley, I mentioned earlier, in the Kennedy assassination. There is a link of these people from the Bay of Pigs, from the time Lee Harvey Oswald was sent to the Soviet Union with the U-2 adventure. When he was sent there, he didn't know there would be such a thing, but he had been trained at two U-2 bases, and they could drop the plane and stop peace conferences if they just happened to take place during Eisenhower's time. But there is a team, James McCord and all of these people from Watergate fame, he is, that run through this era. But every single article, except when they were arrested, when George Corcola and Frank Turple were arrested in New York in 1979, every single major writer is leaving his name out. Now, a year ago, on this program, I gave a list of the most important stories of 1979 and 1978, leading up to 1980, of July 1980. And many times I'm going to keep going back to them until they're household words with you, because at the time of Watergate, you didn't know E. Howard Hunt or Frank Sturgis or Charles Colson or G. Gordon Liddy, Tom Charles Houston. They became names identified with modus operandi White House plumbers and the operations inside the White House of Richard Nixon, his administration. Well, at the present time, at a higher level, because of Watergate, we had investigations of the Rockefeller Committee, Representative Pike's Committee, Senator Church, the House Select Committee on Assassination. And because of all of that, and because of many pieces of the puzzle beginning to seep out, a new team of names at a different level have surfaced. And as I say, I mentioned a year ago, just in July 1980, the most important stories of the news. And I don't often repeat on these programs unless it's very important, but these stories will all fit together. And if you watch the news, you will soon be able to see how they fit. I said that Frank Edward Turple and George Gregory Corcola was probably the most important news story of 1980 to break. They were arrested in December, just before 1980. The year began in 1980. And the next most important part was the House Select Committee on Assassinations. Now, that involves the breaking into the Yuri Nosenko CIA links with Lee Harvey Oswald in the Soviet Union. And then Jonestown and the murder of Representative Leo Ryan, the mind control experiments linked to Chile and Argentina, which again goes back to Australia, the bauxite, control of Australia, the Nugenhan Bank, and their links and overlaps to Colonia Dignidad and Jonestown in Chile. Now, all of these stories that I mentioned in July of 80 are surfacing in their own ways. I talked about the murder of Pope John the First, and then the Polish Pope came to power, and the link of Vatican and Watergate and organized crime and the Nazis to Auschwitz and IG Farben. Now, on the printed sheet that went out in 1980, I was talking about the importance of this Polish Pope. There's a new book out now on IG Farben and Martin Bormann and the Nazi connections. There are articles about the links of Licio Gelli and Michael Sindona to the Pope and organized crime. So that as one government flees from Italy and goes down to Argentina, new stories break. As Mitterrand investigates a murder in Paris, new stories will break. As Seymour Hersh writes for the New York Times or Jeff Gerth, they are tapping into some very fundamental basic operations of our intelligence system that have to come open. They may drip out just because you see a tree standing. I read a quotation just today regarding a tree standing. It doesn't mean it isn't growing. And these stories have stood, but there are new branches and leaves, and they are coming out all the time. In fact, one of the top stories that I mentioned was the murder of Nelson Rockefeller to make way for Reagan's nomination, and the murder of John Paisley, who worked with Lee Harvey Oswald, a co-worker, just at the time the House Select Committee was going. The more stories they have to cover up, the more we find later. So it's an interesting time of a lot of news coming out, and in order to make sense, I will sometimes go back and use these names until they become familiar with you. A Nazi died this week. You've all read that. Albert Speer. He was in charge of Hitler's production. He's the one man who didn't claim he was innocent at Nuremberg. He said he was guilty. He loved Adolf Hitler. He engineered Hitler's rise to power. He helped the Third Reich. He was part of the slave labor system. He taught Hitler how to use people from other countries and work them down to the bone and then bring in the next gang on the junk heap. They didn't feed them. They brought in a batch of slave labor. They worked 30 days and died. And then they brought in the next 30. You didn't have to feed them. And they worked their ass off, thinking maybe they'd get a day's food, and he moved them on. Speer was locked up in a prison for 20 years. In 1966, he came out and became a millionaire. He helped a movie, a TV movie, on the Holocaust as an advisor for one of our lousy American documentaries. He liked Adolf Hitler. He liked the technological state. He liked the way Hitler used the radio and public address system. He could reach 80 million people and make them subject to the will of one individual. Speer claimed in his book that he wrote on the Third Reich how Hitler used the radio and television and teletype, what a genius he was, as a fascist using the media. Speer has helped engineer all that. But Hitler's dictatorship only worked because everyone around him was sympathetic to it. They could have turned the media off. They could have yanked out their television. And you could do the same thing when they lie about your news. You have a choice to turn it off and write to them or book publishers and say, I think you're a liar, and maybe picket bookstores with some information about the truth. I doubt if that will happen, but it would be possible to show your anger. Well, from 1966 to 1981, he had a good time. He lived 15 years as a millionaire and an advisor, and he was making a movie in London when he dropped dead. He died of what they call an apparent stroke. There's apparent heart attacks and apparent strokes, and maybe as the architect and production chief of the British television believed, he just happened to have a stroke. Maybe it's possible that Albert Speer knew a lot about Licio Gelli. Gelli worked with Adolf Hitler. He worked with Mussolini. He's in hiding now, and a lot of Nazis may die of old age, and he wasn't even very old. When I talk about Adolf Hitler and Nazis, and I hate the word neo-Nazi, because let's go for the Nazis first and forget the neos. They trained them. They have grown up, a bunch of them, the Lebensborn, are a ripe age now to run institutions and organizations like Martin Bormann wanted. And Albert Speer had quite a few years, for just 20 years, sitting well-fed and accomplished in a jail and not uncomfortable. not in solitary confinement like George Jackson at Soledad for stealing a $70 bike. He came out well paid, just as Yuri Nisenko came out well paid. Well, before I finish this airtime, we have about 4 minutes. There was a wedding this week, a very cutesy wedding. I guess you all read about it. It was Susan Atkins of the Manson family. She married this lovely character, Donald Leger, from Texas, of course, from Houston, Texas. I've alleged all the time that the Manson family was straight, pure Central Intelligence Agency, as was the SLA. Now, this little Sue Atkins is a doll. She had a $6,000 wedding dress made in New Jersey, probably by George Corcola's mother. And this character from Texas is building a $12 million house that he's going to put next to Frontera Prison until Susan Atkins gets out. He spent $6.4 million to free his wife of 1 week, and he's prepared to spend $100 million more to get her out. She wore her crucifix. I love the religious ornaments, the crucifix on her ears and her heart, and her French blue satin gown, and had a lovely reception in Frontera Prison. Another Manson woman wants a new trial, Leslie Van Houten. This little doll says in her trial that when she was charged with killing the LaBiancas, they showed pictures of Sharon Tate, and that influenced the jury. Now, UPI story today said that people involved with the Sharon Tate murder and the members of her household, four friends, and she was pregnant, so there's Sharon Tate and four others and the baby. That's seven right there. The participants were Susan Atkins, Patricia Krenwinkel, Linda Kasabian, and Tex Watson from Texas. And the next night, there was Tex Watson from Texas, and Miss Krenwinkel, and Leslie Van Houten. Charles Manson, keep in mind, didn't go in the house and kill any of those nine people. But Tex Watson is from Texas, and he came to Beverly Hills and worked with a Beverly Hills lawyer. And now, this little darling, Don Leisher, who's had 30 wives while he's waiting for Sue to get out. He's known her since 1965. She was involved in the killings in 1969. So he ran through his 30 wives, and now he's going to spend $100 million and sit on the fence of the Frontera prison with his house, his $12 million house. And as I say, the bride wore a deep teal blue French satin gown. She wore a crucifix and crosses on her ears. The groom wore a coral-colored leisure suit and a cowboy hat, and I'm sure next to Lady Diana and Prince Charles, this must have been the most interesting wedding of this summer season. This is so disgusting. These people have been assured, you sit your time, Sue Atkins could be involved in killing nine people, and of course, Mr. Spears only killed maybe 9 million, 6 million in the concentration camps, and then the soldiers to boot and the refugees around. So whether it's 9 or 9 million, you sit it out for 20 years in jail, and they'll let you out, and then you become a multi-millionaire. That's the way Yuri Nosenko is. He works for the CIA at the present time. If they do their job, and they do it well, there's cash for them, and they try to write our history and rearrange our lives in the most hideous manners that literally stinks. And unless we get to the bottom of this, as Mitterrand said in France, it will continue. This is why he's going into the murder of one particular person and six associates, because if you don't get to the bottom, it goes on, and it gets worse. Well, that's enough information for 1 hour for you, I believe, and I'll be back next week. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California, and you take care of yourselves.
This has been World Watchers International with noted conspiracy investigator Mae Brussel. This program originates from Carmel, California.